Did you mention this morning the accident that happened? It was mentioned yesterday, announcements. When leaving Los Angeles after the Rath Yatra, a group of seven or eight devotees from New Orleans had a fatal auto accident in El Paso, Texas, on their way driving back. At about 8 o'clock in the morning, they had been driving all night, Sunday night, Monday morning, so they could get back and go to work. Only they didn't make it back. The driver instantly died. One other, according to what I heard from Govinda Dutt this morning, is quite possibly can leave his body today. Others have, they're in intensive care unit, two with broken shoulders. So our prayers for those devotees are what's being called for at this time. And when Prabhupada heard during his presence that one similar thing, devotees driving from one place to another place all night long, sometimes you have to do that for Rath Yatra, right? You drive at night, drive the truck. Barney? It's risky. So devotees should be careful. Some say you shouldn't drive at night. Just simple, don't drive at night. Because our body is accustomed to working very hard during the day and resting at night. Okay, so chapter 6. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yasmin yada pushkar, yasmin yada pushkar nabha maya ya. Taranta yas prishta diyas pratag drishaha. Kurvanti tatra yanukampaya kripam. Sadavo daiva balad krite kramaham. Kramam yasmin yada pushkara nabha maya ya. Daranta yas prishta diya pratag drishaha. Kurvanti tatra hyanukampaya kripam. Sadavo daiva balad krite kramam. Yasmin, in some place. Yada, when. Pushkaranabha mayaya. By the illusory energy of Pushkaranabha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dorantaya, insurmountable. Sprishta diyaha, bewildered. Patak drishaha, the same persons who see differently. Korvanti, do. Tatra, there. He, certainly. Anukampaya, out of compassion. Kripam, mercy. Na, never. Sadavaha, saintly persons. Daiva balat, by providence. Krite, being done. Kramaha, kramam, prowess. Translation, my dear Lord. This is Brahma addressing Lord Shiva. If in some places, materialists who are already bewildered by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Godhead sometimes commit offenses, a saintly person with compassion does not take this seriously. Knowing that they commit offenses because they are overpowered by the illusory energy, he does not show his prowess to counteract them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that the beauty of a tapasvi, or a saintly person, is forgiveness. There are many instances in the spiritual history of the world in which many saintly persons, although unnecessarily harassed, did not take action, although they could have done so. Parikshit Maharaj, for example, was unnecessarily cursed by a Brahmana boy, and this was very much regretted by the boy's father, but Maharaj Parikshit accepted the curse and agreed to die within a week as the Brahmana boy desired. Maharaj Parikshit was the emperor and was full in power, both spiritually and materially, but out of compassion and out of respect for the Brahmana community, he did not counteract the action of the Brahmana boy, but agreed to die within 7 days. Because it was desired by Krishna that Parikshit Maharaj agree to the punishment so that the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam would thus be revealed to the world, Parikshit Maharaj was advised not to take action. Parikshit Maharaj was advised not to take action. It's like he's got a pipeline to Super Soul. He was advised to not take action. A Vaishnava is personally tolerant for the benefit of others when he does not show his prowess. This does not mean that he is lacking in strength. Rather, it indicates that he is tolerant for the welfare of the entire human society. Yasmin yada pushkara nabha mayaya durantaya sprishta diya pratagdushaha kurvanti tatra yanukampaya kripam nasadhavo deva balad krite kramam. My dear Lord, if in some places, materialists who are already bewildered by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Godhead sometimes commit offenses, a saintly person with compassion does not take this seriously. Knowing that they commit offenses because they are overpowered by the illusory energy, he does not show his prowess to counteract them. The series of verses here are Lord Brahma persuading Lord Shiva in a very humble tone of expression. He's persuading him in the direction of compassion and tolerance and forgiveness. because this is a saintly person's platform. And as we know, Lord Shiva is easily pleased and he's easily angered. So something needs to be done, and before that something is decided, then Brahma is stepping in the middle of the situation and advising, don't kill him. So several things. Prabhupada, I'll go back further. The importance of Vaishnava qualities is so, so important when Prabhupada was describing the system that he wanted to have in Gurukula. He described in a number of points, but one of the primary points relevant here is that academic education was not so much what he wanted to see, but character development is what he wanted to see. And extending that from, in a broader way, from the Gurukula situation to those that Prabhupada was training, he wanted us to be first-class devotees. First-class citizens means devotees. The emphasis is the same emphasis. Not just knowing so many things, but not having the corresponding character. Just a little side note, one of my personal pet peeves in Krishna consciousness is the situation where persons learn the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and then take the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to be like a stick and go bashing other people with that stick, including devotees and non-devotees and anybody, just bashing because they have something that's very strong. Can't be defeated. Bash, bash, bash. That's minus the character. In something that's very powerful in the hands of a person without character is very dangerous. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur renders the Ekalavya story in just the opposite way that most people render the Ekalavya story. When Drona refused to teach Dhanurved to Ekalavya, what did Ekalavya do? He disobeyed Duryodhana and he went for it anyways. He went to the forest, built a murti of Drona, worshipped the murti of Drona, and through the murti of Drona somehow derived powers from Drona. And when Drona came to find out, skipping the detail, Arjun came in protest. You said that you would teach me all of your arts, and here's someone that has something that I don't have. What's going on? Take me to this person, Ekalavya. So when Ekalavya saw Drona, Ekalavya fell at his feet. Oh, my Guru Maharaj, you have come to see me in the forest. How wonderful. Very good. Where have you learned these military skills? From you. You are my guru. Very well, but I have never directly taught you, but you say it's come from me, then I have the right to ask for dakshin, isn't it so? And the dakshin was his thumb. The thumb that he needed to fire his arrows. And so when the thumb was taken, commonly Ekalavya is glorified for just see how totally surrendered he was to his guru. This is how one needs to be in relation to one's guru. Bhaktisiddhanta explains differently, that Drona did not want Ekalavya to have something so powerful because he didn't have the character or the foundation upon which to use that something so powerful. Something powerful in the hands of a person without character is very dangerous. And that is the situation in the world today, where technology and other forms of powerful information, the push and pull, the cause and effect of things of this world, using that technology, not based upon character, it's dangerous. Little personal story. Many years ago, I don't know how many, I was invited to, 15 years ago, something like that, I was invited to speak at a graduate class in anthropology at the University of Connecticut. And graduate class was 2.5 hours long. So there were 3 speakers in 2.5 hours. And the first speaker, the topic was, what has, there were three things, what three things that have impacted the quality of life in America today in a very dramatic way. So the first, I can't remember who the third speaker was. The first speaker was the chairman of the computer science department or division of the school. So computer technology has really shaped dramatically the way of life of people in America today. So he had the first thing, and he went from way back when, he pointed out the window, to see that building over there, that building, whole building was a computer, because we didn't know how to micro make computers. But over, as time, and we're back so many years, and as time passed, we learned how to make things smaller and smaller and faster. And then we started getting contracts, you know, the link between education and the commercial world. They got funded from France to create a system where people could, I forget how it was, I think the first thing was that they could get information without having to call up an operator. Just enter the information you need, a computer supplies them the number that they want. So they were funded for that. The next thing, once that was set in place, was in a certain province in France. That once the system was set up, then the idea was online banking. So they set up, they modified the system to get online banking. And then the third thing was people, feedback was that people wanted to be able to see the teller as they were doing their online banking. So they had a monitor system so that you could see the teller and the teller could see you while you were doing your online banking. And then the next call that they got was for prostitution, because France has its share of prostitution. So they wanted somebody to the contract was to be able to show this girl, that girl, that girl, this girl, that girl, do your online shopping for a prostitute, and then, you know, somehow, I don't know, you show up at her door, or she shows up at your door, but prostitution marketing. So then he, I'm shortening what he said in 45 minutes, his conclusion was that advancement of technology that is not based upon character can be very dangerous. And if it can be very dangerous, it will be. People that have something very powerful, you know, some instrument in the hands of a fool is dangerous. A powerful instrument. And so then he turned it over to the Hare Krishna devotees. He said, so therefore, our advancement of technology is dependent upon these people to build character. Quite an introduction, huh? The second topic was the influence of Eastern philosophy and religion in America. It's had a very prominent, dramatic effect in shaping how people believe and act and eat and move around and spend their time, spend their money. So, not only Prabhupada understood it, the Department of Computer Science understood. Advancement of knowledge must be, and our modern educators, they also understand it. Our system of education is screwed up through so many murders in schoolrooms in this place and that place and all around the country. They realize we're doing something wrong. There's more information, but there's less character. And so people, the kids, and then they become grown-up kids, like call them adults, but they're just grown-up kids that don't have character. So Vedic culture is to teach character. And those who are being trained in Vedic culture, that's devotees, it's of great importance that we get the message that qualities are extremely important, not just knowledge. We can quote this verse and we can explain this and defeat that person, but our character stinks. That's not Krishna consciousness. Sorry to, I'm on a little soapbox here right now, but I hope you can appreciate the message. In part of what I was doing just after Rath Yatra is planning a retreat in Gita Nagari, that every year, Labor Day weekend, if there's not Janmashtami going on, we conduct a retreat and about 150 to 200 people come. And one of the topics for one of the sessions is this topic of this morning's verse. The importance of forgiveness and tolerance in devotee relationships. Now, the example that we often have about forgiveness and tolerance is in relation to preaching. All right? Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya sent them out preaching and they took so much abuse. And everybody that goes on Sankirtan knows what that's like. And you don't have to go on Sankirtan, you can just stay on the property. And things will happen that will call upon the quality of tolerance and forgiveness. Prabhupada writes specifically about those that manage. That for the very persons, I just read this recently, the very persons that those who are in a position of leadership are serving take so much abuse from those who they're serving. It's no news. No surprise. It's not just ISKCON. It's material nature. It's Kali Yuga material nature especially. Those that are preachers, those that who they're trying to sacrifice for, don't say, gee, thank you, sir, for the sacrifices you're making. They say other things. I mean, sometimes they say thank you, but there's a lot of other things that people say. Get out of here, get a job, get lost, parasites, and so many, you know, things people say. There's the other side. And in the position of management, and just in the position of being a devotee, just you live in a community, so you all know exactly what I'm speaking about. While, and even when your intentions are good, persons may read the intentions to be the opposite of your intentions. That goes on. And it's not just ISKCON. Our ISKCON Resolve leader, Raja Bihari, said he found a very interesting book in the course of his master's study in mediation. And it's a very small book. The title of the book is, "That's Not What I Meant!" Where In the field of linguistics, if you want to read the book, the author is Tannen, T-A-N-N-E-N. She's a professor of linguistics, PhD, and short book, but in the field of linguistics, they have a thing that's called politeness. And politeness means intention. But and so there's language or linguistics where one expresses politeness. Then it's understood within the field of linguistics, besides everyday life. Your intention is sometimes understood to be the opposite of what you intend. You may intend to involve somebody and they feel that you're being pushy. Or your language is an involving kind of language. Or your language may be respecting someone's privacy. And they may feel it, they may take it as occlusion. And all these things go on constantly. Why do these things go on? The indication is right in the verse. And this is what the purpose of reading Prabhupada's books or transcendental knowledge is meant for. It's to help us get on the other side of misunderstanding and get on the side of transcendental knowledge. So the previous verses, Brahma is speaking about differentiation, where persons see the material side, and based on the material side and the mind, put those two things together. There's I like, I don't like. Happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, friend, enemy, good, bad, etc. Attraction, repulsion. There are, fortunately, there are those that are not on that platform. They're on the platform of transcendence. And those persons on the platform of transcendence, they may recognize the this and the that, it's hot and it's cold, it's light and it's dark. They can recognize the features of the material energy, but they don't identify with those things. They see beyond those things to the soul. That's what's being said in this verse. The saintly, oh my Lord, Lord Shiva, addressing someone respectfully like that invokes the higher nature instead of the angered Lord Shiva nature. Oh my Lord. Saintly persons recognize the plight of the materialist. The plight of the materialist is they're moved by the illusory energy. Yasmin yada pushkara nabha mayaya. It's not only moved by the mayaya, but there's no choice. Situated on the machine of the material energy, yantra, rudhani, mayaya, the soul is just being carried. Feeling this, attracted to that, desiring this, repulsed by that, just on the machine of the material nature. The seventh chapter of the first canto, I wanted to make some reference to that and stay within my time limits. The verses that describe Vyasadeva's transcendental realization, which is the basis of the whole Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is an expansion of what Narada told him to do, to sit in meditation, fix your mind completely upon the absolute truth, and whatever it is that you realize, write Srimad Bhagavatam on the basis of that realization. So that realization is a very important realization. Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbhas references it three times. In detail. Analyzing in detail that realization of Vyas. Very important verses. So it's 1, 7, 4, 5, 6, and 7, those verses. 7th chapter, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. So, in the fourth verse, he expresses, Sutta expresses, that Vyas fixed his mind upon transcendence. He saw the Supreme Lord, and behind the Supreme Lord, under the control of the Supreme Lord, was his Maya energy. Normally, people don't see the Supreme Lord because the Maya energy is in between. But under the direction of the Supreme Lord, for the benefit of Vyas, he instructed his Maya energy to move behind so that Vyas could see his form. We don't see the messages. We don't see Krishna. We don't see Pushkaranava, the personality of Godhead. We see the Pushkaranava Mayaya in the verse here. Yasmin yada Pushkaranava Mayaya. Dharantaya. Very, very difficult to overcome. In fact, it's so difficult, it's impossible because it's under Krishna's control. We can struggle with Maya, mama maya duratyaya, all we like. Nothing's going to happen except more struggle. We'll get worn out and Maya will win. Daivihi esha gunamayi, mama maya duratyaya. Mam eva ye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite. So this is Vyasa's realization. And then yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. So this is Sutta speaking about Vyas, just as here it's Brahma speaking to Lord Shiva. Same message, no surprise. It's Vyasadeva composing in the fourth canto what he realized in the first canto. The living entity, there's Maya and some Mohita. There's Moha and some Mohita. Completely deluded by the deluding potency of the Supreme Lord. Yaya sam Mohito Jiva Atmanam Trigunatmakam. Paropi Manyate. Anartam api, even though para, he has nothing to do with that Maya. He identifies with it. Like, you know, somebody says something harsh, and you identify with it. You get into the terminology these days is a reactive mindset. Oh yeah. Kind of mindset. So Daksha has offended Lord Shiva. Who's more powerful? Pipsqueak. Daksha compared to Lord Shiva. Annihilate the guy. That's the reactive mindset. And, you know, we're not Lord Shiva. We're not all-powerful like he is. But, you know, oh yeah, mentality. And sometimes people don't even act on the oh yeah. They just carry it. The saintly person is not in the reactive mindset. We're being trained to be like this. So that's, you know, it's relevant. Please understand that. Don't get into the reactive mindset, nor carry the feeling. In fact, don't even identify with the whole display of the material energy. Try to see beyond the material energy, just as Vyas saw beyond the material energy, because Krishna removed the material energy very kindly. And see, the living entity, although he is para, he's struggling very hard with the material energy. He's suffering like anything. That's exactly what this verse is saying. Persons who observe everything with differentiation. Excuse me, that's the previous verse. If in some places materialists who are already bewildered by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Lord sometimes commit offenses, you know, some say something nasty, do something mean, cruel, and it happens. Certainly there's the non-devotee, and even unintentionally or in moments of being carried away by trigunatmakam, the three modes of material nature, later the devotee will feel like Maharaj Parikshit felt. As soon as he walked away from the hermitage of Shamakrishi, the Bhagavatam describes his heart was very heavy. We all know that feeling. Why did I do that? Why did I speak like that? What's going on? It's Atmanam Trigunatmakam. And we got carried away. And he immediately felt apologetic. Regret is, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, regret is a means of purification for Vaishnav. Regret. And humility precedes regret, because who's going to be regretful if you're not humble? So then not only he forgave the young boy when he heard, he felt, I deserve this, I've offended a brahmana. Whatever is to come, I accept. Now here in the purport, Prabhupada writes, Maharaj Parikshit agreed to the punishment. He was instructed to accept the punishment. Now it doesn't say, there's no detail of that. He received an email message in his inbox, and Paramatma said, I've got a plan, just go with this. But he was a devotee, and so he was moved by the direction of Supersoul. Hopefully we'll come to that stage sometime, and until then we can follow the directions of the Bhagavatam, that if something happens in developing the character of a saintly person that our founder Acharya wished for us, if something happens where there's some kind of negative thing that comes from elsewhere, outside of ourselves, including in the Vaishnava community, understand, take the humble position, first of all, and if in fact the conduct is wrong, Prabhupada combines these two terms. Tolerance, it's consistent. It's in this verse, but it's because I've referenced this. Tolerance and forgiveness, they're not synonymous, but they go together. You tolerate, tongues to tiksha subharata. That's like, you know, if it's too hot or too cold. But there's also tolerance in interpersonal dealings. You tolerate. You know, Dravid is blissfully dancing and he steps on my foot that's got a huge infection in it. Whoa, what's this guy doing? But, you know, Dravid didn't mean to step on my foot, and he didn't know that I had the infection in my foot, and if I let him know, he'd feel terrible. But I don't, so I tolerate, and forgiveness. So much baggage goes on. I'm not going to carry this too far because of the time factor, but so much baggage goes on because people hold on to stuff. And, you know, they not only hold on to it, it's like in their treasure box. And they open up the treasure box and look at the stuff that happened to them and close it and, you know, focus their attention on the stuff that happened to them. We've all had it because it's the material world, it's Kali Yuga. Forgiveness is empty that stuff out and put in the real understanding of the spirit soul is being carried by the material energy, and being carried by the material energy, they're moved by impulses of their past deeds, and sometimes they'll say and do things that are not nice. So we can feel compassion for that soul that's being carried in that way and think, what can I do to be an instrument to make that different? That's a saintly person who thinks like that. And we're being trained to become saintly persons. And we may think, wow, that's too much of a stretch for me. At least the minimal position is tolerance and forgiveness. A phrase that I've heard Bhadri use is, yeah, and when you forgive, it's called in American Indian language, bury the hatchet. Bury the hatchet and then forget where you buried the hatchet. Don't bury the hatchet and then think, boy, if this happens again, I'm going to go get that hatchet and come after him. Forget it. Bury the hatchet and forgive means forget. Get on the spiritual platform. So it's a little pep talk from Lord Brahma to Lord Shiva. Get on the spiritual platform. Forgive. Yes, he may need to learn a lesson. Let that lesson be appropriate, but don't just annihilate him. Teach him a lesson. That's good. But so it's good for him, not so you've just roasted him. So we should also think in ways like that. If there's something that's wrong that's been done, we can forgive and forget, but we may also tolerate and forgive. We may also act like as Narada did with Nalakuvar and Manigriva. He acted in a way that was for their interest. He considered very carefully what will be beneficial for them. That's how a Vaishnava should deal with those kinds of circumstances. Someone has offended, a harsh thing is done. What can I do that will be of benefit for this other individual? At least try to think like that. Hare Krishna. Is there time for discussion? Yes.
You know, you forgive, and then you forgive, and then, you know, it happens again. Sometimes people are chronic offenders. Every community has at least one chronic offender, chronic insulter, chronic, you know, toe stepper, whatever it is. So, how do you deal with those people? Because you can't just forgive and forget, you know, ad infinitum.
That this is the answer to that question is what divides communities. Because some people think this and some people think that. One idea that makes sense to me, you know, I would say each community has to determine its policy. Yeah, I just stepped out of the out of the heat. But a situation that makes sense for me is that you establish standards, you make it very clear. Here's the line. Please don't step over the line. And, you know, give them the fair chance, fair hearing, three strikes and you're out. Good old American system. But, you know, define what are the standards rather than it's an arbitrary standard and each person's carrying in their mind a different idea of what the standard is. The community leaders decide a standard and outside of that, it's just not acceptable. This is, and you define your community. The community defines the community and that's just in their standards. And on the other side of these standards, it's just not acceptable.
Thanks, Maharaj. But I think in many cases, the standards are already defined by Srila Prabhupada. And what's happening or not happening is that the leaders are not applying it at all in most cases and sometimes not uniformly in other cases.
But Prabhupada was spoke in different ways at different times. And then the community members, especially, you know, community elders, you could say, is how a village works, how a community works. There's elders. Let them reach a consensus. What are those standards for the community? Because you, as you well know, someone can go to Prabhupada's books and find this and find that and support their position. and what might work well in Los Angeles might not be the same in Moscow. You know, so the community—that's just my thought. And yes, if things are not well defined, then it leaves the room for the yada 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 stuff. So best to have definitions. And best have a consensus building those definitions. That's my opinion. You know, different communities may want to organize themselves in different ways. Yes.
So was, oh, sorry. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Last night some of us were out in Hollywood doing Harinam and distributing some books. And one Christian preacher approached me. He's dressed in a suit and everything. So, you know, at first I was speaking with him, you know, very calmly and, you know, saying, you know, basically that, you know, we're teaching the same thing you are. And, you know, just trying to actually, you know, get him to agree that, you know, we were doing something valid. But then, you know, he kept like pushing the point, you know, that they always do.
Sure.
About that verse.
No news.
And I quoted the verse from, you know, Satya Raj's book that in the original Greek that the word erketai is designating the extreme present tense. So he was actually speaking to his disciples that at this time, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No one goes to the Father but unto me. And, you know, he kept
pushing. What's the punchline?
But then I got really heavy on him, and then just started saying, you know, then God, unlike Srila Prabhupada, you know, when he preached in that the science of self-realization about meat eating, then I quoted some verses from the Bible on that, and, you know, and then he was making excuses. So I just got really heavy and just blasted him and say, and got him really, just trying to let him see how gross it was to eat dead bodies. He was even thinking that, you know, Christ ate fish and everything. So is that okay to do something like that?
If you do not in a reactive mindset, if you do, as Prabhupada would do, show anger and then it goes away.
Yeah, it was exactly like that.
Not controlled by it, but as an, you know, two things. That's one thing. And the other thing is try to keep yourself always, not only in that circumstance, in a pure state of consciousness. Because it's very easy to, in one's mind, to justify and then get controlled. And in fact, it's not appropriate. It doesn't have the right effect. There's no substitute for purity. So when purity is there and you're using some medium to help bring a situation to some higher ground, higher knowledge, higher understanding, sure. But if that's immediately where one goes because the modes of nature compel one to go there, Hare Krishna, you just got caught by the material energy. Time's up.
Thank you
very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.